Geordie's Mermaid. Isa Heslop was the kind of mother who was always worrying. She worried about her son, Geordie, because his eyes were light and misty, like something underwater. She worried because his hair was damp-looking and limp. And she worried, too, about Geordie's father, Fred, who never made much money for them to live on. But the time she worried most of all was when Fred came home from salmon poaching. Not with a salmon, but a mermaid. Just think of it. A little girl mermaid. Silky, pale hair and a twist of a tail that shimmered like mother of pearl. Fred fetched her out of the sack and set her proudly on the red tablecloth. "And what do you think of that?" he said. "Isn't she just champion now?" Isa, who was worrying about her best tablecloth getting wet, and the terrible bad luck of bringing a mermaid into the house, just wrung her hands. "But how did you come by her, Fred?" "That's just what I'm trying to tell you. Come up the river from the sea, she did, just like the salmon do this time of the year. I brought her for Geordie. He can have her for a pet." Hearing this, the little mermaid burst into tears.
"But I don't want to be a pet," she wailed. "I want to go to the circus."
Fred and Isa exchanged horrified glances.
"She doesn't want to be a pet," echoed Fred.
"She wants to go to the circus," stammered Isa. I came up the river purposely," wept the little mermaid.
Well, what with the mermaid's cries and Fred and Isa's raised voices, it was not long before Geordie himself got out of bed to see what all the fuss was about. When he saw the little mermaid, pink and pretty and shrieking because she wanted to see the circus, he could hardly wait to comfort her. For as it happened, there was nothing in the world Geordie wanted more than to see the circus. Geordie did his best to explain this to the little mermaid, and at last she dried her eyes on a corner of the tablecloth, told him her name was Shell Pink, and agreed to sleep in the washtub under the scullery sink. In bed at last, poor Isa could not sleep for worrying. She kept sitting up and giving her husband a shake, saying,
"Well, Fred Heslop, have you thought of anything yet?"
Then she worried about what she could give Shell Pink for breakfast.
"And to think our Geordie wanted to see the circus so much and never said. I suppose he knew we had no money for tickets."
At last Isa sat up and saw that it was morning.
"Well, man, have you thought of anything yet?"
This time she got the shock of her life because Fred just said sleepily,
"Yes, Hinny, our troubles are over."
And not a word more would he say. But as soon as he had had a cup of tea, out he dashed to the town and did not come back till dinner time. Sitting down at the table, he said cheerfully,
"Well, now, and how have you all been getting on without me this fine day?"
But Isa was not cheerful at all. Shell Pink had done nothing but whine all morning about not getting to the circus, and Geordie had been far from helpful about finding waterweed for the little mermaid's meals. But Fred just smiled more broadly than ever and spread 4 tickets on the table and said, "I went straight to the circus owner himself, Earl Slater, and told him about Shell Pink. She swims, sings, and does everything a mermaid should," I said, "and she's pretty, pretty as a lamb in spring." And Earl Slater said that he would buy her for a circus act, there and then, for £500. Isa, of course, was worrying already. It didn't seem right somehow.
But supposing she doesn't want to be a circus act?
She wanted to go to the circus, didn't she? Said Fred. But there is one other thing. She's got to have a trainer, Mr. Slater says. So I said we'd send our Geordie along. What finer living could he want than that? Dressed in a fine suit, putting a mermaid through her tricks in a travelling circus.
Why? I'll see the world," cried Geordie,
and he danced off to tell Shell Pink. Only his mother sat silent, holding the money in her hand and wondering what would come of it all. That evening, they all went to see the circus. Earl Slater himself came up and shook Shell Pink by her little cold hands and showed her the tank he'd just built for her. Next day, Isa set to work to make Shell Pink a beautiful little bodice embroidered with shells and a suit for Geordie covered with gold braid. So the months went by, while Geordie and Shell Pink travelled with the circus and people crowded up to see the only performing mermaid in the world. And every week, Geordie sent his wages home. Often he was left with no money at all and had nothing to buy food with. Then he would say to Shell Pink, "Oh, it's a pity humans can't eat seaweed." And a little mermaid would hold up a long, tempting green ribbon of seaweed and coo, "But you'd love it, Geordie, if you'd only try. Why don't you?" And at last he did. He was so hungry. And after that, he had some of Shell Pink's dinner every day. And just as she said he would, he grew to love it. But one day, he noticed something strange. His trousers seemed to be getting too tight. He tugged and tugged, but he must have been growing suddenly because their shape was all wrong for him. There was something else. His legs were changing colour. They shone pink and green when the light caught them. Geordie had always loved water, but now he spent more time in the tank with Shell Pink than ever, and they played and sported among the bubbles. At last, when two pointed tail pieces peeped out of his trouser legs instead of feet, he knew that he did not want to be a mermaid trainer anymore. He wanted the sea, the big heaving ocean where the mer people like the seals and porpoises could swim on forever. "Shell Pink," he said, "I'm tired of this little tank and the circus and everything. Let's go down to the sea." Shell Pink nodded. "I've been thinking just the same myself, Geordie." So next time the big pipe at the side of the tank was open to let out the water, they held hands and dived down it together. It was a long, dark swim, but in the end they got to the sea. It was broad and grey, and as full of adventure as Geordie had dreamed. As for Fred and Isa, when they heard the news from Earl Slater, they were dreadfully upset. But by now, Isa had learned to make the best of things. "Fred," she said thoughtfully, "as our Geordie's turned into a merboy, it's only common sense. If we want to see him, we must live by the sea." So they bought a cottage by the sea, and Fred became a hard-working fisherman. And sometimes he would catch a glimpse of Geordie and Shell Pink waving merrily far out to sea. And every Monday morning, Isa would receive a picture postcard from them, and sometimes even a parcel. So she knew that they were safe, and she never worried about anything ever again.